when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church in North Korea. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 417. It's March 11, 2016. Today, part two, the final part of Spurgeon's talking book from his book called The 12 Striking Sermons, Charles H. Spurgeon. If you're following along, we're right in the middle of that message. Part three. From the text, we learn that Holy Scripture is very familiar. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. To talk signifies fellowship, communion, familiarity. We sit at its feet, or rather at the feet of Jesus, in the Word. And it comes down to us. It's familiar with us as a man talketh to his friend. And here let me remind you of the delightful familiarity of Scripture in this respect, that it speaks the language of men. If God had written us a book in his own language, we could not have comprehended it. But what little we understood would have so alarmed us that we should have besought those whose words should not be spoken to us anymore. But the Lord, in his word, often uses language which, though it be infallibly true, in its meaning is not after the knowledge of God, but according to the manner of man. I mean this, that the word uses similes and analogies of which we may say that they speak humanly and not according to the absolute truth as God himself sees it. As men conversing with babes use their broken speech, so doth the condescending word. It's not written in the celestial tongue, but in the patois of this lowland country, condescending to men of low estate. It feeds us on bread broken down to our capacity, food convenient for us. It speaks of God's arm, God's hand, his finger, his wings, even of his feathers. And now all this is a familiar picturing to meet our childish capacities. For the infinite one is not to be conceived of as though such similitudes were literal facts. It's an amazing instance of divine love that he puts those things so that we may be helped to grasp sublime truths. Let us thank the Lord of the Word for this. How tenderly Scripture comes down to simplicity. Suppose the sacred volume had all been like the book of the prophet Ezekiel. Small would have been its service to the generality of mankind. Imagine that the entire volume had been as mysterious as the book of Revelation. It might have been our duty to study it, but if its benefit depended upon our understanding it, we should have failed to attain it. But how simple are the Gospels, how plain these words, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. How deliciously clear those parables about the lost piece of money, the lost sheep, and the prodigal son. Wherever the word touches upon vital points, it's as bright as a sunbeam. Mysteries there are, and profound doctrines. Deeps where Leviathan can swim, but where it has to do immediately with what concerns us for eternity, it is so plain that the baby in grace may safely wade in its refreshing streams. In the gospel narrative, the wayfaring man, though a fool, need not err. It's familiar talk. It is God's great mind brought down to our littleness that it may lift us up. How familiar the book is to, I speak now as to my own feelings, as to all that concerns us. It talks about my flesh and my corruptions and my sins, as only one that knew me could speak. It talks of my trials in the wisest way. Some I dare not tell, it knows all about. It talks about my difficulties. Some would sneer at them and laugh, but this book sympathizes with them. Knows my tremblings and my fears and my doubts and all the storm that rages within the little world of my nature. The book has been through all my experience. Somehow or other, it maps it all out and talks with me as if it were a fellow pilgrim. Have you not often wondered at the human utterances of the divine word? It thunders like God and yet weeps like man. It seems impossible that anything should be too little for the word of God to notice, or too bitter, or even too sinful for that book to overlook. It touches humanity at all points. Everywhere it is a personal, familiar acquaintance, and seems to say to itself, "Shall I hide this thing from Abraham, my friend?" And how often the book has answered enquiries. I've been amazed in times of difficulties to see how plain the oracle is. You have asked friends, and they could not advise you. But you've gone to your knees, and God has told you. You have questioned, and you have puzzled, and you've tried to elucidate the problem, and lo, in the chapter read at morning prayer, or in a passage of Scripture that lay open before you, the direction has been given. Have we not seen a text, as it were, plume its wings and fly from the word like a seraph, and touch our lips with a live altar coal? It lay like a slumbering angel amidst the beds of spices of the sacred word, but it received a divine mission and brought consolation and instruction to your heart. The Word of God, then, talks with us in the sense of being familiar with us. Do we understand this? I will close this point by another word of application. Who, then, that finds God's Word so dear and kind a friend, would spurn or neglect it? If any of you have despised it, what shall I say to you? If it were a dreary book, written within and without, with curses and lamentations, whose every letter flashed with declarations of vengeance, I might see some reason why we should not read it. But, O precious, priceless companion, dear friend of all my sorrows, making my bed in my sickness, the light of my darkness, and the joy of my soul, how can I forget thee? How can I forsake thee? I have heard of one who said that the dust on some men's Bibles lay there so thick and long that you might write damnation on it. I am afraid that such is the case with some of you. Mr. Rogers of Dedham, on one occasion, after preaching about the preciousness of the Bible, took it away from the front of the pulpit and, putting it down behind him, pictured God as saying, "You do not read the book. You do not care about it. I'll take it back. You shall not be wearied with it any more." And then he portrayed the grief of wise men's hearts when they found the blessed revelation withdrawn from men, and how they would besiege the throne of grace day and night to ask it back. I'm sure he spoke the truth. Though we too much neglect it, yet ought we to prize it beyond all price, for if it were taken from us, we should have lost our kindest comforter in the hour of need. God grant us to love the Scriptures more. Fourthly, and with brevity, our text evidently shows that the Word is responsive. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee, not to thee. Now, talk with a man is not all on one side. To talk with a man needs answering talk from him. You have, both of you, something to say when you talk together. It's a conversation to which each one contributes his part. Now, Scripture is a marvelously conversational book. It talks and makes men talk. It's ever ready to respond to us. Suppose you go to the Scriptures in a certain state of spiritual life. You must have noticed, I think, that the Word answers to that state. If you're dark and gloomy, it will appear as though it had put itself in mourning, so that it might lament with you. And when you're on the dunghill, there sits the Scripture, with dust and ashes on its head, weeping side by side with you, and not upbraiding like Job's miserable comforters. But suppose you come to the book with gleaming eyes of joy, you will hear it laugh. It will sing and play to you as with psaltery and harp. It will bring forth the high-sounding cymbals. Enter its goodly land in a happy state, and you shall go forth with joy. and be led forth with peace. Its mountains and its hills shall break before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. As in water the face is reflected, so in the living stream of revealed truth a man sees his own image. If you come to Holy Scripture with growth in grace and with aspirations for yet higher attainments, the book grows with you, grows upon you. It's ever beyond you and cheerily cries, higher yet, excelsior. Many books in my library are now behind and beneath me. And I read them years ago with considerable pleasure. I've read them since with disappointment. I shall never read them again, for they are of no service to me. They were good in their way once, and so were the clothes I wore when I was 10 years old, but I've outgrown them. I know more than these books know, and I know wherein they are faulty. But nobody ever outgrows Scripture. The book widens and deepens with our years. It is true it cannot really grow, for it's perfect, but it does so to our apprehension. The deeper you dig into Scripture, the more you find that it's a great abyss of truth. The beginner learns 4 or 5 points of orthodoxy and says, I understand the gospel, I've grasped all the Bible. Wait a bit. And when his soul grows and knows more of Christ, he'll confess, thy commandment is exceeding broad. I've only begun to understand it. There's one thing about God's word which shows its responsiveness to us. And that is when you reveal your heart to it, it reveals its heart to you. If as you read the word you say, O blessed truth, thou art indeed realized in my experience, come thou still further into my heart. I give up my prejudices. I assign myself, like the wax, to be stamped with thy seal. When you do that and open your heart to Scripture, Scripture will open its heart to you. For it has secrets which it does not tell to the casual reader. It has precious things of the everlasting hills which can only be discovered by miners who know how to dig and open the secret places and penetrate great veins of everlasting riches. Give thyself up to the Bible, and the Bible will give itself up to thee. Be candid with it, and honest with thy soul, and the Scripture will take down its golden key and open one door after another and show to thy astonished gaze ingots of silver which thou couldst not weigh, heaps of gold which thou couldst not measure. Happy is that man who in talking with the Bible tells it all his heart and learns the secret of the Lord, which is with them that fear him. And how, too, if you love the Bible and talk out your love to it, the Bible will love you. Its wisdom says, I love them that love me. Embrace the Word of God, and the Word of God embraces you at once. When you prize its every letter, then it smiles upon you graciously, greets you with many welcomes, and treats you as an honored guest. I'm always sorry to be on bad terms with the Bible, for then I must be on bad terms with God. Whenever my creed does not square with God's word, I think it is time to mold my creed into another form. The teachings of God's word are infallible and must be reverenced as such. Now, when you love it so well that you would not touch a single line of it, and you prize it so much that you would even die for the defense of one of its truths, then, as it is dear to you, you will be dear to it. And it will grasp you and unfold itself to you as it does not to the world. Dear brethren and sisters, I must leave this point, but it shall be with this remark. Do you talk to God? Does God talk to you? Does your heart go up to heaven? And does his word come fresh from heaven to your soul? If not, you do not know the experience of the living child of God. And I can earnestly pray you may. May you this day be brought to see Christ Jesus in the Word, to see a crucified Savior there, and to put your trust in him. And then, from this day forward, The word will echo to your heart. It will respond to your emotions. Lastly, number 5, Scripture is influential. That I gather from the fact that Solomon says, "When thou wakest, it shall talk with thee." And follows it up with the remark that it keeps man from the strange woman and from other sins, which he goes on to mention. When the Word of God talks with us, it influences us. All talk influences more or less. I believe there's more done in this world for good or bad by talk than there is by preaching. Indeed, the preacher preaches best when he talks. There is no oratory in the world that is equal to simple talk. It's the model of eloquence. And all your rhetorician's action and verbiage are so much rubbish. And now, this book, as it talks with us, influences us. And it does so in many ways. It soothes our sorrows and encourages us. Many a warrior has been ready to steal away from God's battle, but the Word has laid its hand on him and said, "Stand on thy feet. Be not discouraged. Be of good cheer. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Brave saints we have read of, but we little know how often they would have been arrant cowards. Only the good word came and strengthened them. And they went back to be stronger than lions and swifter than eagles. While the book thus soothes and cheers, it has a wonderfully elevating power. Have you never felt it put fresh lifeblood into you? You've thought, "How can I continue to live at such a dying rate as I have lived? Something nobler must I gain?" Now read that part of the word which tells of the agonies of your master, and you will feel, quote, "Now for the love I bear his name, what was my gain, I count my loss. My former pride I call my shame, and nail my glory to his cross." Read of the glories of heaven which this book reveals, and you will feel that you can run the race with quickened speed, because a crown so bright is glittering in your view. Nothing can so lift a man above the gross considerations of carnal gain or human applause as to have his soul saturated with the Spirit of truth. It elevates as well as cheers. And then too, how often it warns and restrains. I had gone to the right or to the left if the law of the Lord had not said, "Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee." This book's consecrated talk sanctifies and molds the mind into the image of Christ. You cannot expect to grow in grace if you do not read the Scriptures. If you're not familiar with the Word, you cannot expect to become like him that spake it. Our experience is, as it were, the potter's wheel on which we revolve. And the hand of God is in the Scriptures to mold us after the fashion and image which he intends to bring us to. Oh, be much with the holy word of God, and you'll be holy. Be much with the silly novels of the day and the foolish trifles of the hour, and you'll degenerate into vapid wasters of your time. But be much with the solid teaching of God's word, and you'll become solid and substantial men and women. Drink them in. Feed upon them. They shall produce in you a Christ-likeness at which the world shall stand astonished. Lastly, let the Scripture talk with you, and it will confirm and settle you. The Word, the simple, pure, infallible Word of God, we must live upon if we're to become strong against error and tenacious of truth. The time is coming when we shall all fall asleep in death. Oh, how blessed it will be to find when we awake that the Word of God will talk with us then and remember its ancient friendship. Then the promise which we loved before shall be fulfilled. The charming intimations of a blessed future shall be all realized, and the face of Christ, whom we saw as through a glass darkly, shall be all uncovered, and he shall shine upon us as the sun in its strength. God grant us to love the Word and feed thereon. and the Lord shall have the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. Thank you for joining us today for the Charles Spurgeon message. While you're at the website, please check out the different things that are there. The course on the Quran and prophecy studies and through the Bible course and Bible commentaries. It's all there. It's in audio and in written form. Anything you can imagine. Go to click on the word store and you'll see how you can purchase in a quicker way than downloading and printing out MP3s. Entire books. 34 of them at this count. I hope that you'll be blessed by something that I've put together. And when contacting me, ask a question or suggest a topic for study, give me a prayer request, or just say hi. And thanks for the messages. And thank you for those of you who have already done that. You'd be amazed at how much of a blessing it is just to hear a word from you now and then. Only if the Holy Spirit's in you, stirring you to do it. I don't ask you to force this at all. Tomorrow we take that weekly break, and then Sunday we'll talk North Korea, and Monday we will start or go back to our series of questions and answers from Genesis. And if you have one of those, be sure to forward it to me. God bless you today. It's been good. And don't forget that passage in Proverbs 6:22. When thou awakest, it, God's word, shall talk with thee.